There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Getting started, hour number two of Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And a reminder, too, or if you're new to the show, welcome. The phone number and the text line are the same, 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through either way, and good to see this man in studio. It's been a while. I will say this, too. He must have been the pride in school at Murphy High School. Must have made the teachers very happy because he comes in here. I'm going to take a picture of this before he gets out of here. The notes, Ed, this is what you want, because he chooses to do the hard jobs in the state legislature. He comes in with at least a term paper's worth of things he's worked on here on the desk. Speaker Pro Tem, District 101, Representative Chris Pringle, good to see you.
Thank you, Sean. It's good to be here, and as always, hey, Mom, and hello to my beautiful wife.
This is, this is voluminous here. We're going to talk about, so Representative is the person who volunteers to work on redistricting in the state of Alabama. When you hear some of this, you'll say, my, I don't know why he does it, but thank God you do it.
Well, thank you.
We've talked for hours in the past on what that process is like. And it's not like you just up and go do this redistricting.
No, I mean, all these notes you see in front of me are from my attorneys. Yeah, I'm surrounded by attorneys.
Because when somebody doesn't like something redistricting, you as a representative or speaker, I don't know which, you get sued as that person, right?
Actually, no. People
who do they sue? The way a line's drawn?
The legislature has no standing. We draw the plans and draw the districts, but we have no standing.
Who has a standing? Okay.
The lawsuit is against the Attorney General and the Secretary of State.
Okay.
And see, our lawyers that I work with, the ones that did it for 30 years before they quit over this Milligan case. We lost our lawyer and our cartographer because of the way this case was handled. They said, what's the point of us working so hard when, you know, they go up to Washington and make the arguments? We'll get onto that because in the last Supreme Court hearing, they talked about, the courts talked about how bad of a job Alabama did arguing the Milligan case in front of them.
And for people to understand this, so you did all that work. And then you had the opinion between yourself, all the people who worked on it, here's what we should do. Here's what the district should look like.
The lawyers that guided us that specialized in reapportionment law did not have the ability to even enter an amicus brief for this. We had to rely solely on the Solicitor General of the state of Alabama to make all the arguments and legal arguments.
And that was not, they didn't line up, right? The arguments made with what y'all had done.
Kavanaugh wrote in his opinion on the Milligan case, had the state of Alabama argued the case before the court, he would have voted with us and we would have won the case. Instead, the Solicitor General went up and made arguments that even the Justice Department and the court said were terrible arguments.
So Justice Kavanaugh says, if y'all would have brought what y'all did here, you know, with the cartographers, with the attorneys, with Representative Pringle and everybody, if y'all would have argued that, Alabama would have won.
Yeah.
Why the hell did we do it differently?
Well, let me back up. I had lawsuits pending against me before we ever drew a map.
Mm-hmm.
So
I remember
when
this.
We were in the room, the lawyers were
no matter not, what you do, we're going to sue you.
Yeah, they made the same allegations. Well, we produced the map. We passed the plan. They sent it to the 3-judge federal panel in Birmingham. They ruled there's a likely Section 2 violation.
Okay.
We need to try this case and look at the facts. The Solicitor General said, no, I'm not going to defend this case. We're going to appeal to the Supreme Court. So he went to the Supreme Court and made the arguments he made that, you know, Kavanaugh and them voted against us, sent it back down to the state and told us that that three-judge panel told us we had to redraw a plan that provided an opportunity for to elect another black member of Congress.
This is an opportunity. So AL2 needs to be opportunity district.
And he went and got some of the senators and convinced them to go with a plan he wanted to draw. And he drew a plan. I refused to introduce it. They sent it down to the House. We passed it. And I knew it was a bad plan. And it so enraged those three federal judges that they handed down the congressional plan we have now. And people come to me all the time and say, well, can't we just redraw like Texas and California? I'm like, no. Those judges were so angry. It was punitive then. They talked about that in the Louisiana case. We'll get to that. They enjoined us. We have a federal court injunction against us from redrawing congressional districts until after the 2030 census.
So they were so upset because they gave directive and that was not followed with the solicitor's argument that it's beyond just no, it's no, and you're going to get punished for it.
Because of what y'all did, we're gonna punish you.
So you talk about, and we're talking about other states, you know, Texas and California, but what about, you know, people have been hanging on to this, the Louisiana case, right? Is that analogous? Should we be holding our breath for that? What's your feeling on that?
It has become so complicated over the years on what we can do and what we can't do. I mean, there was a, you know, they won't tell us what we can do. They only tell us what we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to hear Louisiana. We had a court tell us in 17, do not draw based on race. You need to draw race neutral, which is what we did. The Milligan case, the court came back and said, you will draw a black district. So they made race the predominant overriding factor in order to comply with Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah, we have differing opinions. I mean, you look at VRA and you look at which one is it?
Exactly, because if you read the Section 2 of the VRA, it clearly says that nothing in this act should be construed that you are entitled to representation based on the percentage of your population. But the courts have come back and said because the black population in the state of Alabama went up slightly, they're now entitled to two districts. But what they don't tell you is what's come out now is, A, they changed the definition of what a black person is. They went back to a one-drop rule. If you have one drop of black blood, you're considered black for the census under the Biden administration. And it's now come out just how bad that census really was. They were twisting the numbers in favor of blue states against red states. Because they didn't give us the numbers to draw on until, I want to say it was the end of August, and we had to.
It was
a mad dash. 3 months I lived in Montgomery trying to get these maps drawn because we had to have something ready for the session because we had to have an election. I mean, they pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. So,
I mean, you talk about the injunction, though, being enjoined, but I've told everybody nothing's going to happen for 2026. Other people were thinking for 2028, but you just rolled out a number of 2030 for 2032, right?
Yeah. After the census in 2030. Yeah.
There won't be this idea that there's going to be a redrawing, even with the Supreme Court ruling that there'll be another drawing of AL1 and AL2 before 2028.
I'm going to say a very tentative yes. Depending how the Supreme Court rules in this Louisiana case.
I've been told it's not directly analogous to us, but like what happened in Louisiana? What's the argument?
The courts drew a plan using race as the predominant factor.
Okay.
Louisiana had a similar case where they said that there was an initial maybe possibly Section 2 violation.
Okay.
So Louisiana just said, all right, we're just going to draw a plan and make race the overriding predominant factor, same way they did in Alabama, the courts did. So they drew a plan using race as the That was it. They disregarded the other principles.
Communities of interest, all the things.
They did away with all that in order to draw a district.
We're going to divvy all up just based on your race.
Yeah, exactly. So then a group of voters in Louisiana said, that violates the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Section 2, you can't do that. It violates our 14th Amendment protections. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately the problem. You have the 14th Amendment, equal protection of every citizen. Then you have the Voting Rights Act that gives special protections to minorities.
Why hasn't this been, until recent history, been questioned?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I remember back in years ago when I first started hanging around elected officials, when they were drawing legislative districts, Joe Reed insisted he would not allow any plan to pass the state of Alabama that you didn't have 64% black voting age population in a legislative district. That was the minimum. He would not let anything other than 64% pass. So that's how we started drawing legislative districts. But now the courts, we thought the courts were backing off that. Back off. And that's what we were doing. We were drawing more race neutral.
Right.
And trying to comply with that. But, then the courts came back and said, no, you have to make race the presiding factor. But I tell you what's interesting. In this state Senate race, the special masters produce three maps, and they take Senator Hatcher, the black senator from Montgomery County, where this is between Hatcher and Barfoot. Barfoot comes majority black, and Hatcher drops to less than 50% black voting age population.
So
are we going to get a retrogression problem? Because I drew a House district for Charlotte Meadows. I redrew Charlotte Meadows' House District 74 and made it a majority black because of the population shift in Montgomery County. And they elected a white male to it.
Yeah, and we're going to pick this up. We come back from the break. More with the man with the voluminous notes here. He is the man that chooses, for some reason, to be the man in charge of redistricting in the state of Alabama. He is House Speaker Pro Tem and District 101 Representative. He's Chris Pringle. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 121 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Chris Pringle, the representative who decides that he wants to do this. Hey, just the conversations we had during the break. Let's do this, because you and I talked about California some during the break. Because people see that in national news. What's going on with California? They're doing that there. What about Alabama? So explain with California, what are they doing?
In 2008, California passed an initiative and referendum by the people to create a nonpartisan reapportionment commission.
Okay.
That was going to draw all their congressional and legislative districts.
Made up of elected representatives or just?
Appointed people.
Okay. Yeah. But nonpartisan, you are going to draw the districts. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. In a nonpartisan. And the way the vote broke down, you had to have at least three Republicans and three Democrats and these nonpartisan people.
Okay.
So what they're doing, they stuck an amendment on another bill and passed it quickly to speed the process up, because they had to have 30 days, So they just took an amendment on another bill that was already in the system, put it on there, passed it, which actually is a constitutional amendment they'll be voting on tomorrow. No, today. I'm sorry, today.
Yeah, today, yeah.
To overturn one time the nonpartisan reapportionment commission and allow the legislature to draw a partisan congressional map.
So the people spoke. They said, we want this nonpartisan commission to draw the maps. Yeah. Legislature, which is obviously in Democrat hands in California, says, not so fast.
Not anymore. We hate Trump so bad, we're going to go back and we're going to ignore you and get the voters to overturn. But they're only going to do it one time. Then they want to go back to their nonpartisan after the 2030 census.
Well, I don't. After 2030, they figure they'll deal with it again then?
I just know this bill is a one-time, let the legislature draw a partisan map and ignore what the voters put in place in 2008.
Back here at home, you're saying, too, that all this forecast to be, like you specifically talking about certain cases, Montgomery, or it has to be done by November 17th.
So what the Secretary of State's office has given us, the date, they have to have all the districts drawn and accepted so they can go back and start changing people's...
And get them the information of where they vote
and mm-hmm. who they're, you know, what district they live in.
Right.
So we have to have all that done and in place by November 17th. Well, we have to have the maps by the 17th so they can go in and do the work.
Is it possible to do that?
Yeah, well, you remember in 20 we had a terrible time because they pushed us so far sending us the information and our maps got, you know, it was so far into the year before we get to release the maps. Remember we had all those problems of people not being in the right voting
mm-hmm.
precincts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a whole different story we could talk about for months, too.
Yeah, and just like a quick version, too, you talk about drawing the maps, and we've talked about this before on the show, but give us like the every man's version of you're sitting down to draw the map. Change it. What do you do? You're moving this line to bring more people in, but then if you do that, you're taking it out of another. You can't move a line without moving a line into another district.
It's called a ripple effect.
Okay.
And that's the problem.
Makes sense,
if you redraw this one district, it could ripple out into two or three different other Senate districts and change those lines.
Yeah, and if you change those, that changes the next line.
Well,
right?
Fortunately, you know, in Congress...
There's a little fudge, right?
Yeah, in Congress, there are seven congressional districts in Alabama. Six of them have the same exact number of people. One of them has one person more than the other one.
Okay.
Of the hundreds of thousands.
Pretty good math there to get. I'll give you that margin of error.
Yeah, it's very complicated because there are 254,000 census blocks in the state of Alabama we have to account for.
That's the thing, y'all. Think about it. Like, okay, you're like, okay, well, we need to change this to reflect that. Okay, move this line, take this neighborhood in or whatever. But now that place you moved it, now you messed with their numbers.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, 250-something thousand pieces of Legos you have to snap together to make a district, make the state work. But with the computers, it's not as bad because, I mean, these cartographers we hire are really brilliant people. I mean, it's amazing for me to sit there and watch them do it because every time we move one, the lawyers tell us, no, you might have a retrogression problem. You might have
Explain that to me, retrogression problem.
You cannot intentionally or unintentionally. This is kind of the big argument in all this stuff. Did you intentionally discriminate or did you, for political reasons, draw something that may be unintentionally discriminated in all this redrawing? Because nobody's going to be happy in reapportionment. Nobody. Nobody's ever really happy with it. People, you know, they get put in different districts. You know, politicians lose their mothers in another district.
Sure.
Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. But this whole problem with Section 2 is how you balance the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment and how you balance, you know, the special protections under Section 2.
Which one has supremacy?
Exactly.
To me, it'd be the 14th, right?
And for, you know, they did away with Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act because they said after 50 years...
Because we were under that, if people didn't follow that. I mean, we had to ask Mama May I if we did something, right?
Anything. If the voting precinct burned to the ground and you wanted to move it to the church across the street,
you had
to go get permission from the federal government to do that. I mean, everything we did, we had
that's,
to get
that's been gone. That was challenged, and Alabama won that.
Yeah, Shelby County.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one. That was a huge...
There's been discussion around this thing. They're like, oh, well, we'll just go back into Section 5, you know, for, like as a punishment for the state.
Actually, it's actually Section 3, court mandate preclearance. They could
okay, that's
put,
three.
Yeah, Section 5 was the automatic one, but there is a Section 3 clause where... There was some talk.
That's where we have to ask.
Yeah, there was some talk in the courts. But I don't even think the plaintiffs wanted Section 3 preclearance. Because if you go under Section 3 preclearance, it's everything. They have to abide by it just like everybody else. So,
you know, and thinking about districts and redrawing, I mean, intrastate, it's one thing, you know. But, statewide, it's one thing. On the federal side of it, you know, we're not talking about when the redrawing of AL1 and AL2 happened. It wasn't this line moved over here, this line tweaked over here. There's just big changes. It wasn't like, oh, this extra neighborhood or it moved two streets to the south.
When we started this process, the plan that we had was given to us by federal courts. And we just basically have taken that same plan. It's challenged every single census, and it's withstood the legal challenge. We've gone up and said, We present our case, and the judges agree with us. This time, we decided to go to the court and make different arguments, and we lost. And then the courts came back angry about what was done and just ripped this state apart, you know.
So if this if we get a decision from the Supreme Court, it can trickle down back to Alabama, though, right?
Depending on what the Supreme Court rules in Louisiana, we can appeal to the Supreme Court to undo the Milligan case and ask them to allow us to go back. Now, whether they're going to do that, that ruling handed down by that court is going to haunt the state of Alabama for generations. Those judges were so angry at what was done and the way the Solicitor General handled it. They 600 pages have called us every bad thing they could think of. And it is referred to quite often in court cases. I mean, they talked about the Justice Department, U.S. Justice Department, in front of the Supreme Court, talked about how bad our arguments were.
And they also said on the flip side, if y'all would have brought the original to the court.
Kavanaugh said if we had argued the original case before the court, he would have voted with us instead of what we argued. Yes.
Okay, coming right back. A few more minutes. Chris Pringle right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Yeah. This text from Billy D says, man, I definitely dig all this stuff. I really do. I don't know if that makes me weird or not. I don't know. Talk to Representative Chris Pringle. Yeah, I'm into it, too. I know that I feel like I'm the person that every time the representative talks about this stuff, I feel like I showed up for a college class about 4 weeks too late, and I'm trying to – like, I know some of the idea. Okay, I know what class we're in, but they're moved on to a chapter I hadn't read yet. But it's – this stuff is important. Also, the overall, I guess, the ham-fisted version of this, too, is some takeaways that, number one, I think people need to know, we had a chance to not have this happen to us.
Yes.
I mean, a legitimate chance. I mean, Kavanaugh said, if y'all had brought that first argument, I'd have voted with you. This wouldn't be a thing.
Exactly.
Because we didn't do that. Not only was it a no, but it's a no and with punishment, 600 pages of...
Yeah. Not very nice things said about us.
So what does it mean going forward for us? You talked about the Louisiana case. We've talked about like what they did in California. People are going to say, because they did that in California, well, we'll just do it here, but it's not that simple.
Well, I mean, we've got an injunction against us, but every state is a little bit different. I mean, they all have legislature does it or some type of hybrid nonpartisan commission, which... Interesting enough, some of them have failed because they can't get people to serve on them because once they get on the commission, they realize the magnitude of what they're trying to do and how complicated it is. This is not fun stuff.
No, it isn't. Every time you come in here and talk about it, because, I mean, there are bills that are, you know, brought up like in your regular legislative session that are kind of, well, they're not easy to understand, but they have a little more. Every person on the street corner has an opinion. You get in this stuff, it's like... It's like math, man.
And it's the legal nuances. I mean, what constitutes, you know, the Jingles test, compactness and contiguity and your communities of interest?
Yeah, tell me, the Jingles test. So this is a thing that we had talked about when this first was coming up, that all these seem conflicting rules to how you draw a district. I mean, you didn't want to split up a community of interest. You didn't want to, you know, cut up a... You didn't want to take Mobile and put it two congressional districts in it. Oh, whoops.
Exactly. I mean, you don't want to take like a very cohesive majority-minority area and split it up in ways that deny African-Americans the right to elect somebody. Because in Mobile, this is what they did prior to Reynolds. They had three members of the House, and they would just split black communities up so that each district had about 35 or 40% black population in it. No black could win it, but no Republican could win it. Only a white Democrat.
That's called cracking versus packing.
Exactly. That's cracking. Then we went to the extreme opposite, where we had to start drawing by court order these black districts that are super Republican, super black majorities. And then the courts.
Which also waters down people's vote elsewhere.
Exactly. That's the problem. It just, everything you do, you know, one thing begots another problem. And that's what the court, the court in 46 said, reapportionment is a political thicket into which we should not wade. Well, they waded into it under the Constitution. But all these voting rights acts kicked in and started causing lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got themselves in a political thicket they don't understand how to get out of.
Because I just wonder, I mean, from the outside, not having your expertise, but, you know, there were absolute needs for you know, VRA and things to be done, but it is it's like an old tool existing in a new world.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't see the same world from back then. I see people look all different kinds of ways, that have all different kinds of opinions, that it seems like it's trying to make us live back then.
Well, numerous things have happened. First and foremost, we have a very large number of black elected officials in the state of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't have poll taxes or literacy tests like we did in 64.
It's horrible stuff.
Those are gone. Those were put away right by the Voting Rights Act. Yeah, we do not deny blacks the right to go into a poll and cast the vote for the person they want.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done a lot to draw districts to give them representation and give them a voice in government. But the courts have now gotten into, they're picking and choosing winners. And it's coming to a head in this Louisiana case, because they talked about, you know, the court mandated the court drew a black district in Alabama, and Louisiana just threw their hands up and said, we're not going to get hit like Alabama, so we're just going to go ahead and racially gerrymander our state and pass it in a law. So,
I think that's a horrible thing for a state.
Well, it's...
You say, all right, okay, black people, you're over here. Hey, you're white, you're over here.
Nobody knows which way to go in this, because the way the courts have been ruling, because you get a single federal judge off somewhere and he can hand down a ruling or she can hand down a ruling that changes it. Here's an example. Jefferson County. The court just stayed the Jefferson County reapportionment lawsuit under the Purcell ruling that said, you're too close to an election. We're not going to change the districts because we're just too close. It will interfere with the election. So we appealed to the 11th Circuit. Under our state senate said, look, we're so close to the election, you know, let's follow the person. They said, nope, we're going to let you redraw.
It's selective. A couple for wrap up here. Jason says, has this incompetent Alabama Solicitor General been held accountable?
I don't know how to answer that question. So
okay. Michael says, if in this drawing, if they take into account black people who can legally vote, who else are felons or people who are not of voting age counted as well?
When we draw on the, you hear us talk about BVAP, black voting age population.
Okay.
That's how many people are over the age of 18 that are African American that live in that district. When we draw our census blocks that we look at.
Of voting age, it's not registered voters, it's people of voting age.
They give us two numbers. The number of people that live in that little geographic area and the number of them that are black. Those are the only two numbers we're given. The total number and the number of blacks. That's how you have to draw. But you're running, and you and I talked about this on the break. You know, in the 60s, you had housing discrimination, you had mm-hmm. redlining, you had, you know, blacks.
White folks on this side of the track, the white folks, yes. Yep.
We've integrated our neighborhoods.
Yep.
It's very difficult now to draw these supermajority black districts because everything's been integrated.
Yeah. I mean, how do you... And this texture says, it's kind of my question, too. First of all, it says Supreme Court violated its own law and ruling, but asks, what's next? And that's what I often do. What's next? On your radar, Chris Sprinkle, what's next?
We're in a holding pattern waiting on this Louisiana case. Is the court going to finally give us direction on what we can do and resolve this conflict between the Voting Rights Act and the 14th Amendment?
I mean, that's a big question.
It just keeps getting bigger and bigger because different courts are handing down different rulings in the Supreme Court. They basically talked about how convoluted it's become, and they've got to try and figure a way out of it.
Yeah, is there something they can make a decision on that becomes a standard? Because they're now they're this same federal government is contradicting itself.
Yeah. And I don't care. If they tell me how they want maps drawn.
But you told me they didn't. I'll draw them. They tell you what you can't do. They never tell you what you can do.
Exactly. It's like trying to be one step ahead of the bear, as one of the justices said. You know, they only tell you after the fact. So
yeah, y'all think about this. This is something Chris has said to me every time. Like, they don't say, here are the things that can be done. They're saying, you can't do these things. Bring us your best thing. And then, oh, by the way, when you bring it, you can't do that.
After the fact. And that's what we all want is clarification. I will draw majority-minority districts all day long if there's a cohesive black political community there. Doesn't bother me. Give them representation. Bring them to the floor. Let their people represent them.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that. But just tell me what we have to do that. And don't, after we do something based on what you've told us before, then come back and slap us and say, no, that's not what we meant.
Yeah, I mean, I know this is simplistic, but it's like, hey, teacher says, hey, write me a term paper or something like that. And you're like, okay. You bring in the term paper. Not on that.
Exactly.
Well, you didn't tell me. You only told me the things I couldn't write it on.
Exactly.
You know what you're saying?
Yeah.
Thank God you're doing it for us up there, man. I appreciate it. And November 17th, you got work to do before then.
It's fascinating. You want an update on the State House?
Yeah.
It is on schedule and on budget.
You're not serious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, it's my name on the bottom of the contract.
That's true.
I want to make sure it works out.
When do y'all, it'll be the next, how many, when we?
When we go when back will in session January, be? Our new parking deck will be ready. We'll be parking in the new parking deck. And when we adjourn sine die this session, they will start moving the voting equipment over across the street. They're already hanging sheetrock over there.
I can't wait to see it.
It's going to be beautiful.
Coming right back, more Midday Mobile.